We are glad to present your speaker, Don Blackwell.
I want to begin today in Job chapter 4 and verse 12. You remember that Job was a righteous man, and Satan had been tempting Job, trying to get him to turn against God. And so God had allowed him, had allowed Satan to severely test Job. He had allowed Satan to kill his children and to take away his riches and to smoke Job with boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And as Job is suffering so very intensely, the Bible says that three of his friends show up to comfort him, the text says. They didn't really give him much comfort, but that's the reason they came. His three friends were named Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. But instead of comforting Job, what they begin to do is make accusations against Job. And in chapter 4, Eliphaz begins arguing that Job must be evil. He's saying, Job, you must deserve these things because bad things happen to bad people. And so if bad things are happening to you, you obviously deserve it. And in verse 7, to prove his point, Eliphaz says, can you think of an example of a righteous person who's had his life cut short? Essentially what he's saying is, it's been my experience in my life, Job, that evil things happen to evil people. And then in verse number 12, to further prove his point, he appeals to a vision that he has had, a secret revelation, supposedly from God. Now let's start reading about Eliphaz's vision together as he tells it to Job. Job 4:12, he says, "Now a word was brought secretly to me, and my ear received a whisper of it, in disquieting thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falls on men. And fear came upon me in trembling, which made all my bones shake. Then a spirit passed before my face. The hair on my body stood up. It stood still, but I could not discern its appearance. A form was before my eyes. There was silence. Then I heard a voice saying, 'Can a mortal be more righteous than God? Can a man be more pure than his Maker?'" And so Eliphaz is saying, I had a vision. He says, I had a revelation, a special revelation from God, and He told me something secretly. He told me something privately. And he says, it's kind of hard to describe the vision that I saw because I couldn't quite make out His appearance, but there was a form. And He said something to me, Job, that proves the point that I'm trying to make. Now, of course, the implication of this vision is that God gave him this vision because of the situation to help him prove his point. Now, what do you say to that? What's Job going to say to that? How do you answer this vision that he supposedly had that indicts Job? How do you answer that, or do you answer that at all? Brethren, that's an important question because there are a lot of people today who are making similar claims. There are a lot of people today who are holding to things similar to that which Eliphaz has said. I want you to hold the thought about Eliphaz because we're going to come back to him at the end of the sermon. A lot of people today say, God is speaking to me in visions. What I want to do today is to answer that question. Does God speak directly to men today? Now, first I want to put emphasis on the word directly, because we understand that God does speak to men today. He speaks to us through the Word, but that's not the point of the discussion today. And secondly, I want to put emphasis on the word today, because we understand that God in times past did speak directly to men. We all agree on that. No one here would deny that. The Bible exists because of God's direct communication with man. Exodus chapter 17 says, God spoke to Moses and told him to write these things in a book. And so in times past, God did speak directly to man. We don't dispute that. But what we want to discuss this morning is the question, does God speak directly to man today? Occasionally, I meet people who say that He does, who say that God talks to them, that they have visions, that they have dreams, that God gives them signs, and that Jesus even personally appears to them. Frequently, you'll hear preachers on TV say, the Lord spoke to me, and He wanted me to share this with you, or the Lord laid this on my heart. I had a study with a man one time in Georgia. A very religious man. I think he was a deacon in the denomination he was a part of. I know he's a Bible class teacher. And he told me that he was walking in the woods one day, and the Lord said to him, Joe, and he said he just ignored it. He was not in the mood, and so he just ignored it. And so he said the Lord called again, Joe, and he said he just ignored it. And the Lord called again, Joe, and he finally said, what? And God gave him the message. I think it was something about starting a new church. He also told me that later he was at work, and he's having a very bad day, and he asked the Lord, please let me go home today. And he said about that time he cut the band on a piece of sheet metal, and it unraveled and it cut him in the head, and they sent him home. And he accredited God for that. Some people think the Lord is communicating to them directly. You know, the Pope, when he sits in his chair, the apostolic chair, he is supposed to be infallible. Everything that he says is perfectly without error. It is absolutely the truth, and it is to be accepted as from God Himself. People are saying that God speaks to them today. In 1980, you may remember Oral Roberts claimed to have had a vision. He said that he saw a 900-foot tall Jesus who encouraged him to continue the construction of his medical research center. In 1987, Oral Roberts said the Lord had told him if he did not raise $8 million by March of that year, that God was going to call him home. He was going to take him. People are saying that God speaks to them in visions. The Lord appears to them. Here's the first point this morning. What does the Bible say about that? Now, this is the first thing I want you to notice. The Bible teaches that the Lord is not appearing unto men today. I heard Brother David Farr tell recently that some time ago he was taking a college class, a Shakespeare class. And he said that one of the professors in that class found out he was a preacher and called him after class and said, I want to talk to you. He said, okay. So he stayed after class. And the professor said to him something to this effect. He said, last night or just recently, Jesus appeared to me in my bedroom. I've heard things like that. Probably you've heard people say things like that. But you know, there's a very serious problem with that. And it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want you to notice this. Beginning in verse number 5, 1 Corinthians 15:5, the Bible gives a list of all of the people that Jesus saw, or that saw Jesus after His resurrection. And in the list, He says Peter was one of them and all of the apostles. And He says at one time there were more than 500 brethren all together who saw Jesus. But when you get down to verse number 8, this is what Paul writes. Last of all, He was seen of me. The Apostle Paul says. Paul says, Jesus, I was the last person that Jesus ever appeared to. And so despite what Oral Roberts said, it didn't happen. Now you remember, Jesus had ascended back into heaven. But He came back and made an appearance to the Apostle Paul. Why? So He could be qualified to be an apostle. That was one of the qualifications of an apostle. You had to have seen Jesus. And Paul says, last of all, He was seen of me. And so when someone today says, I have seen Jesus, you know it's not true. Because 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 8 says otherwise. Well, Brother Farr said, he asked that professor, he said, how did you know it was Jesus that appeared to you? And the man said something like, well, it was obvious. You know, everybody knows Jesus. Brother Farr said, well, it wasn't obvious to Saul of Tarsus. The Bible says that when Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus, you remember what Saul asked him? He said to him, Lord, who art thou? You see, he didn't recognize him. But people today say, well, of course, everybody knows Jesus. Well, here's the second thing I want you to notice as we talk about what the Bible says. Sometimes people today think that the Lord appears to them, or they'll say maybe He speaks to them, and He tells them what to do to be saved. Friends, if you will read your Bible, you will see that God never has done that. God never has, even in biblical times, He has never told anyone directly how to be saved. Now, I want you to think about examples of this. Think about the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, the day that the church began. The Lord did not tell those people how to be saved. Rather, He gave the message to the apostles who spoke by the power of the Holy Spirit, and they told men how to be saved. Think about the first Gentile convert, Cornelius, in Acts chapter 10. Here's Cornelius, Acts chapter 10 and verse 3. He has a vision of an angel of God. But that angel doesn't tell him how to be saved. That angel says, send to Joppa and ask Peter to come to you. And he will tell you words whereby you must be saved. You see, men are to teach men the gospel. Think about Saul of Tarsus again. Here's who later became the Apostle Paul. He's on the road to Damascus. Jesus appears to him personally and directly, but He doesn't tell him how to be saved. Saul even asked, Lord, what would you have me to do? Jesus said, go into the city and you'll be told what to do. And then when he got into the city, God sent Ananias to him to tell him what to do. See, men teach men the gospel. Think about the Ethiopian eunuch. Here's a man riding along in a chariot in the desert, studying from the book of Isaiah. He's reading about the Lord. Now, there are some miraculous things that take place here. An angel appears to Philip, and he says, miraculously, an angel appears to Philip and says, I want you to go and teach this Ethiopian eunuch. And he goes and he teaches him. And then the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord caught him away, apparently miraculously. He received the message to go to him miraculously. He was called away miraculously, but the Lord did not teach him miraculously. He had a man to teach a man the gospel. Now, why is that? Folks, it's because 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The gospel has been placed into the hands of men to teach other men. And the Lord commanded us to go into the world and teach the gospel, to preach the gospel to every creature. It is our responsibility. If the Lord starts picking certain men and teaching them directly, He becomes a respecter of persons. But God has placed the gospel in the hands of men. Not even in biblical times did the Lord tell someone directly how to be saved. And so when someone says, the Lord spoke to me and told me how to be saved, they're lying. They're mistaken at best. They're not telling the truth because it's never been that way. Here's number three. I want you to notice with me 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Well-known passage. Very simple passage. But this is a very powerful passage to show that God is not speaking to men today. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now that's the subject, the Bible, the Scriptures. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, the King James says. This is the Greek word that means complete. It means lacking in nothing. It means you have everything that you need. And the verse goes on to say, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, brethren, appreciate with me the meaning of this passage. It means that when the Scriptures were completed, that's what this verse is talking about, the Scriptures. When the Scriptures were completed, the Lord is telling us that there is nothing, not one thing that you will ever need to know to please the Lord that is not contained in the pages of the Bible. If you have a Bible, you are equipped for every good work. There's not anything that's going to come up in your life for which the Lord will need to talk to you. There's not any work that will come up that the Lord will need to give you further communication on. If you've got one of these, you are completely, thoroughly equipped. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that means that God is not speaking to men today. Now, why not? Why is He not speaking to men today? Because there's nothing else to say. He said that's all. Everything you will ever need is contained in the Scriptures. There's not a single work you will ever need. You're equipped to every good work. And so God is not speaking to men directly today, because if you understand the thrust of this passage, what would He say? What's He going to say to me? He said everything that you need to know for every work you will ever encounter is contained right there. What's He going to say to me that's not already said? If He did say something, it would be in contradiction of this passage. Number four, I want you to notice 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Let's read it together, then we'll talk about it. 2 Peter 1, 3. It says, as His divine power, Christ's divine power, now watch this, watch what your Bible says, as His divine power has given. In the original, this is in the past tense. His divine power has given unto us, look at the word, all things. Not some things, but all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, when Peter said all things in this verse, he had reference to a promise that was made to him at a dinner. He was sitting with 11 other men plus the Lord. You can read about this dinner in John chapter 13 and 14. Is commonly known as the Lord's Supper. On that occasion, Jesus began to wash the feet of His apostles. And in the course of the night, they learned that He was soon going to be leaving them. And they were sorrowful. They were very upset about this. I want you to look with me at John 14. I want you to look what Jesus tells them, what He promises them. John 14 and verse number 16. Jesus has told His apostles, His disciples, that He's going to be leaving them. They're upset. This is what He says. John 14, 16. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another comforter. The word another here is the Greek word that means another of the same kind. In other words, I'm going to send you another comforter, another one just like me. Now, who is this comforter? Look at verse 26. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, listen to what He says He's going to do, He will teach you all things. and He will bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Jesus promised His apostles that the Holy Spirit would come and would teach them all things. Now, when you get to the end of the Bible, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, Peter says that we have been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, how did this happen? I want you to think about this with. Follow the process. Jesus promised His disciples that the Holy Spirit would bring all things to their remembrance. John 16:13, He told them that the Spirit would guide them into all truth. The Spirit did come in the first century. The message was revealed to the apostles. They wrote it down in the form of Scripture so that when we get to 2 Peter, Peter says we now have all things that pertain to life and godliness, so that Paul could write that through the Scriptures we are complete and have everything we need and are completely furnished unto every good work. Brethren, all things means all things. God is not speaking to men today, because when it was all revealed, we have every last detail we know. Here's number 5. Look at the book of Jude. Look at verse 3. The small little book of Jude. Only one chapter. Look at verse 3. Jude writes, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you," listen to the end of the verse, "that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Now, particularly, I want you to notice the word "once." Jude says that the faith, the truth, Christianity was once delivered. The Greek word here for "once" is very interesting because it means literally once and for all. The American Standard translates it that way, once and for all. And this is so important to understand the meaning of this word. This word also appears in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, where the Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die. Now that means once and for all. Man is going to die, but you're not going to come back and die again. When you die, that's it. You're not going to die again in a partial way. It means once and for all. You're going to die and that's the end of it. It appears again in the very next verse in Hebrews 9:28, where the Bible says that Jesus was offered once for all, for the sins of mankind. It's exactly the same Greek word. And it, of course, naturally means that Jesus was offered once and for all. He never has to do it again. He doesn't have to come back and be offered again partially. It's not like there are going to be some people whose sins He didn't get and He's going to have to come back and handle those once and for all. That was it. That's what the word means. And Jude in verse 3, "The faith was once and for all delivered to the saints." All right, let's put all this together. The last person who Christ ever appeared to was the Apostle Paul. Through the Scriptures, we have everything that God wants us to know. We are completely equipped. We have all things for life. We have all things for godliness. We have all things for every work. All of that information was delivered one time, once and for all men. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no way that God is speaking directly to men today. And you know what? That's exactly what the Bible teaches. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 teaches us that there was a time when God gave men miraculous knowledge. There was a time when men had prophecies. There was a time when other miracles existed. And that was the time when they didn't have the New Testament yet. And so God miraculously revealed these things in a partial way. Since they didn't have the Bible, the most they could get at any one time, if a person was speaking miraculously, was just a little bit of the message. They had it in part. If a man spoke miraculously for 10 minutes, they had 10 minutes of the message. They had it in part. But the 1 Corinthians 13 goes on to say that when the word was completed, listen to verse 10, When the word is completed, that which is in part shall be done away. In other words, right now we have the word in part. We speak miraculously. But when it's completed and you have it all together in one form, that which is in part is gone. Friends, God talking to men directly would cease because the Scriptures would be completed. And when they were completed, we would be equipped to every good work. God does not talk directly to men today. Now, I want to notice some obvious problems with these people who say that God is speaking to them today. Some people claim that God is speaking to them today But he is telling them to do things that are contrary to his word. Now, I told you at the beginning, we're going to come back to Eliphaz. I want to come back to him for a minute. I want you to consider this. Eliphaz said, I had a vision. He said, the Lord revealed something to me that proves my case against you, Job. But this is what's very interesting. When you get to the end of the book of Job, in Job chapter 42 and verse 7, this is what the Bible says. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, that he said to Eliphaz, my wrath is kindled against you and against your two friends, for you have not spoken of me the thing which is right. Eliphaz said, I had a vision from God, and it confirmed that what I was saying was the truth. But God said he was not telling the truth. God said he was lying. Now, was he lying about the vision, or was he lying about what it meant? Was he mistaken about the meaning of the vision? Maybe he really did have a vision, but maybe it was just a dream. He said it took place at night. He said in the time of night when men are falling into a deep sleep, maybe he really had a dream, and maybe he thought this is what it meant. Friends, sometimes people are saying things that are contrary to what the Bible says, and there's an obvious problem with that, because it's obviously not the truth. Sometimes people claim that God told them in a vision to start a new church, but one like the one you read about in the Bible, and you know it's not the truth. Friends, God did not tell them to start a church different from the one Jesus died for. They're lying. It's not the truth. They're mistaken at best. Here's a second thing. Sometimes two people will both be claiming to have a revelation from God, but they'll be getting conflicting revelations. Have you ever heard that before? You know, there is a serious problem with that, because the Bible says God is not the author of confusion, 1 Corinthians 14:33. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1 teaches us that the Lord expects us all to speak the same thing religiously. God is not going to tell one person one thing and tell another person something totally different. It's not consistent with His nature, and it's contrary to His Word. It's an obvious problem with that. Thirdly, there is an obvious problem with those today who are saying that the Lord is speaking to them, and yet, I find this one very interesting. There are those who say the Lord is speaking to them, and yet they still have to study, and they still have to prepare before they can deliver a lesson. You know, the Lord told His disciples when He was guiding them directly, take no thought how or what ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye shall say, Luke 12 and 12. On the day of Pentecost, Peter and the other apostles, they didn't prepare any sermons for that day. They didn't prepare lessons for the first gospel sermon. God gave them the words. Brethren, the apostles were walking New Testaments. They were New Testaments in the flesh. God was delivering the message to them. The Lord brought all things to their remembrance. Remember, that was the promise of the Holy Spirit. They were walking New Testaments. And my experience has been, and I don't say this in an arrogant way or in a boastful way, I'm just saying it to make the point. My experience has been, every time that I have ever met with or studied with someone who says that the Lord speaks to them directly, I know the Scriptures better than they do. Now, why is that? I don't claim to have the Lord guiding me directly. If they are being guided by the Lord, why is it that I know the passages better than they do? They'll say, well, the Bible says somewhere, and they'll quote a verse, but they have no idea where it is. If the Lord's guiding them, and I have to tell them where it is, why do I know and they don't if the Lord is guiding them directly? Friends, there's an obvious problem with that. There's also an obvious problem with those who say that the Lord is speaking to them today, and yet they lack confirmation. You know, in the Bible times, any time the Lord revealed a new message to men, it was proven. It was confirmed with miracles from God. Because after all, anyone could step forward and say, I had a vision, the Lord told me this, you've got to follow it. And who's to say that He didn't? But see, the Lord gave miracles to prove that it was indeed from God. When God sent Moses to Pharaoh, you remember He said, go and tell the people, tell Pharaoh that God said, let my people go. You remember what Moses asked? He said, what if they don't believe me? And the Lord said, what is that in your hand? And he said, a rod. He said, throw it down. And he did, and it became a snake, a serpent. He said, grab it by the tail and pick it up. And he did, and it became a rod again. He said, you're going to have a miracle. It's confirmation that it came from God. And a number of miracles followed in the book of Exodus to prove the message came from God. On the day of Pentecost, when the gospel was revealed, the apostles spoke in other tongues, other languages that they had not studied, and all of the people understood. And they saw this is a miracle. This has to be from God. Mark 16 and verse 20 says about the apostles that they went forth and they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs. Those today who have told me that the Lord has spoken to them in visions and talked to them in signs and dreams, they have never confirmed the word with a miracle. Now, they might tell me about something that took place in Africa or South America or some other place, but I have never had miraculous confirmation from any of them. Friends, it's an obvious problem. God does not speak to men directly today. Now, what this does not mean, first, I want you to appreciate with me that this does not mean that we do not believe in miracles. We believe in every one of them. The Bible talks about in the New Testament that they were speaking in tongues, languages they did not learn. There were miraculous prophecies. We read about the parting of the Red Sea and the healing of the lame and the raising of the dead. We believe in every one of those miracles. But we believe they existed for a special purpose and a special time. And that time is past. Number two, this does not mean that we do not believe that God works in our lives today. That was last week's sermon. You can get the CD if you want to hear a whole sermon on that. Certainly God works in our lives today, but not miraculously. He does it providentially. If He didn't, what would be the purpose of prayer? God does work in our lives today. Friends, today God does not speak directly to men. Everything that we need is right here. It's in the pages of the Scripture. We have all things that pertain to life and godliness. We are furnished to every good work. And we don't need an additional book. We don't need a vision. We don't need a dream. We don't need a still small voice in the night. And we don't even need the Holy Spirit to work directly on our hearts, except as it does through the Word. Friends, Christianity is not a better felt than told religion. It is a religion based on reading and understanding and obeying the words of the Holy Spirit as they have been written down in the Word of God. God, by miracles, confirmed the message of His book. And there are new messages. Hebrews chapter 1 says this message was confirmed. It's been done in the past. He doesn't ever have to do it again. There are no new messages. Today, everything God wants for me to know to serve Him faithfully is contained in the pages of this book. And when someone tells me God spoke to me, He's revealed something new to me, I know He's not telling me the truth, because it's contrary to these passages we read today and many others. Friends, the Bible teaches that if a man would be a child of God, all he needs to do is to obey the words of the New Testament. That is, he needs to hear the gospel. He needs to believe it. Mark 16:16, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." He needs to hear it. He needs to believe it. He needs to repent of his sins. Peter told those on the day of Pentecost, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." He needs to confess his faith in Christ, as did the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8 and 37 when he said, "I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And a man needs to be baptized in water for the remission of sins. Like Peter said in 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21, "The like figure whereunto baptism doth now also save us. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God." And that's all you need to do. You need to obey it, and you need to live faithfully according to this book. You don't need the Lord to speak to you. You don't need a dream. You don't need a vision. You don't need a sign. You simply need the Word that God has given us, and you need to obey it faithfully.